Chapter 46. Nico frantically searched the floor of the boat. "Where are the oars?" he cried out. "Will, do you see them? Nico, I'm really sorry, but I kinda lost them back before the swamp."
"We don't need them," said Bob stoically. "We'll be fine."
Nix roared again, then fell to all fours as the darkness she was creating grew bigger and bigger. "Are you sure?" Nico shouted, "because it looks like she's going to absorb us." The boat drifted slowly down the river, and Nix began to crawl forward, screaming at them, her dress devouring all that it touched.
"Yes," said Bob. "She doesn't realize that we are safe."
Nico scowled at first, then realized something he hadn't noticed before. The river wasn't talking. He could no longer hear the lamentations of the dead. The punished weren't crying out to him. "Will," he said.
"Will, can you hear the river?"
His boyfriend grimaced.
"No, not over Nix."
Nix swallowed up a chunk of landscape and reached for them. Nico shook his head. "No, remember before? Even when we were in the boat, we could still hear the voices in the Acheron." Will's face perked up.
"Oh, you're right," he said. "Is it empty? Like empty of souls?"
"No," said Bob. "You misunderstand the nature of it. It only calls out to you if you let it."
Nico's eyes widened. "What? That doesn't make sense." Bob looked at him impassively.
"It does. You are not worthy of punishment, and you do not despair. At least, not anymore."
As the epiphany crept through Nico's mind, he twisted his head around to watch Nix claw at the riverbank, one of her hands briefly submerged in the gently flowing waters, and a new scream erupted from her, and she jerked back. Her hand was blistered and smoking.
"No!"
she cried, but she didn't stop coming. She leaped into the river, trying to grasp the stern of the boat. A terrible hiss echoed off the cliff face, and Nix thrashed wildly. Ultimately, she had to turn around and paddle furiously back toward the shore. She rolled onto the bank, blisters rising on her body, her dress dissipating into wisps of smoke. The stars on her skin flared and then winked out.
"No," she groaned. "Impossible."
The boat continued to float away from her, but Nico moved to the stern. "You can't enter the river of pain," he called out to her, "because that is all you know."
"I will get you, Nico D'Angelo," she screamed. "I'll capture you and seal you up, and I'll force you to...
She went quiet as her body, now just a wizened husk, started sinking into the ground. They watched as her still figure became darkness, evaporating into the shadows. Meanwhile, Gorgira's boat bobbed peacefully along the surface of the water. Nix would not be coming after them again anytime soon.
"We're free,"
Nico thought. He sat down across from Will, who asked, "Is she dead?" Nico shook his head. "No. She's a goddess, remember? But Bob was right. I didn't get what he meant at first, but she can't enter the Acheron. Gurgira said that pain is the river we must navigate to get where we want to be. Well, Nix refuses to accept that, so the river, it rejected her." Just then, a loud screech echoed over Tartarus. Nico peered at the cliff on their left and, "Oh, Hades," he said, pointing. "Look." Up on the ledge above them, multiple Cocoa Puffs were crying and calling out as they ran along it to keep up with the moving boat.
"What do they want?" asked Will. "Did Nix send them?"
"I don't know," said Nico.
"I don't think so," said Bob, and he stood slowly, his hands extended to the sides to keep the boat from tipping over. "But I'm ready to expel them if they try to attack."
The Cocoa Puffs scrambled over one another as the boat continued down the river. They kept pace with the rushing water, chirping and growling as they did so. Nico glanced at the shore on their right to make sure it was empty, and he saw only dead tree trunks and wilted grasses. But when he looked back at the cliff, it was shrinking. No longer did the stone wall tower over them. As the Cocoa Puffs got closer, Nico's heart raced as quickly as they did.
"What should we do?"
said Will.
They can't reach us, can they? The current picked up speed, so the Caco demons practically rolled down the last bit of the decline to keep up. They snarled and yapped and appeared to be shoving each other aside in an effort to...
Oh.
Oh! Bob, stop the boat.
The Titan looked down at Nico. What?
Use your broom or whatever, he said. Please. Nico, what are you doing? Cried Will. They're going to get us. Please, Bob, Nico shouted.
Bob raised an eyebrow. Then he lifted his broom, spun it around so the bristles pointed up, and jammed it into the water. The boat swerved to a stop. Nico turned back to Will.
They're not trying to fight us, he said. They're trying to escape.
Sure enough, as soon as the Caco demons caught up to them, they began to throw themselves aboard. The boat rocked back and forth as they did so, but Bob kept it steady with his broom. When the last cocoa puff leaped in, Nico nodded to Bob, who yanked the broom handle free.
The Caco demons cowered in the bow, shrinking away from Will. They grouped together so closely that they looked like a single blob of darkness with multiple eyes and mouths.
Small Bob hissed at the cocoa puffs from Bob's shoulder.
Well, said Will, moving to sit next to Nico. Now what?
They're free to go where they want, said Nico. That was the whole point of me letting them go.
It's just...
Well, I didn't think they'd want to come with us. Will smiled.
Well, if they're going to be sticking around, then I want you to know that I accept them.
Thanks, said Nico.
I mean, I don't know that they're actually sticking around. Maybe they just want an express ticket out of Tartarus.
Fair, said Will. I still like the idea of you having a perpetual band of little demons following you around, though.
Don't you dare call it cute.
Nico and the Cocoa Puffs.
Don't do that either.
Sounds like a great power pop band.
I swear, Will.
Catch them opening for Paramore this winter.
Nico gently slugged Will's arm. Glad to see you're back to being your annoying self. Will held out his hand and Nico took it.
Glad to see you didn't give yourself over to Nyx.
In a way, I feel sorry for her, said Nico.
She's stuck. All she knows is pain. And I get the appeal of constantly holding on to the darkness. Nico, you don't have to explain her actions away.
I'm not. I just think... Well, it was her way of being in control. She was born of chaos, literally. Her parents are chaos and Tartarus. Her whole existence is darkness and suffering and death. He swallowed his own grief as his eyes blurred with tears.
I think I relate to that a little too much.
Will scooted close and wrapped Nico in his arms. Finally, Nico let go of the tension he'd been holding and he cried into Will. Cried with relief. Cried from fatigue. Cried because his life had been so very, very hard. It was still hard. But maybe this part could be easier. Nico curled up in his boyfriend's arms, and Small Bob purred at his feet. Tartarus was quiet around them. Nico wondered if maybe the old god had drifted off to sleep. And then, exhaustion began to pull at Nico's own consciousness. As his eyelids grew heavy, he took one last look around them. A seemingly endless expanse of barren, arid lands stretched out in either direction, like they were traveling through a sunless desert split by the river. This time, he saw no monsters or creatures, no gods or proto-genoi, nothing lurking in the shadows. Even so, Nico still worried. What if something else awaited them? Could this terrible journey truly be nearing its end? It had been so torturous just to enter Tartarus. Surely it wouldn't be easy to leave it. But they had come so far, too far to fail. Nico clung to that thought, alongside the reformed Titan, his ghost cat, a band of newly born Caco demons, and Will, as the canoe passed silently into darkness.
Chapter 47.
Will wasn't surprised when Nico fell asleep in his arms. The Acheron, or Cocytus, Will supposed, as he wasn't quite sure which river this was anymore, carried them along smoothly, and the gentle current was lulling. But sleep was proving to be a little more elusive for Will. It didn't help that there were, like, 15 blobs of darkness staring at him with glowing eyes. Nico's Cocoa Puffs. Wow, another great band name, he thought. Examined Will. Were they trying to determine if he was safe to be around? It sure felt like that. As the boat traveled through the empty expanse of Tartarus, they watched him vigilantly while occasionally cooing or purring. This was going to be quite an adjustment. But so was being around a Titan. Will had never met Bob before, and now he was sharing a boat with him. Oh, and Bob was weeping. Like, full-on weeping. Tears poured down his face. Bob, are you okay? Will asked.
I am more than okay, the Titan choked out. I am free. I'm also thinking of something I once said to some other demigods.
What was that?
I told Percy Jackson and Annabeth Chase that Titans are not meant to change, that we are the same forever. But this is not true. I am evidence of that. All things can change if given the opportunity.
He smiled.
It is a lot to consider. Will Solace.
Will smiled back. Do you need anything?
No, my demigod friend. You just rest.
Will glanced ahead, and the river continued into the darkness. Do you think we're actually going to make it to the top of the underworld?
I'll get you back home, Will Solace, Bob said. You saved me. Now it is time for me to save you.
Nico stirred against his chest. Yeah, he said. Let others do the saving, Will. Will hugged Nico tight. Shh, my little ball of darkness, he said. We don't need your sarcasm right now.
Nico grunted a laugh.
You live for my sarcasm. So, is this it? Do we just wait until this river leads us back to the entrance? Well, it really is okay if you just rest, Nico said. You don't always have to be saving the world. I know, it's just that it seems like after everything we've been through on this quest, this part is too easy. Well, now you're starting to sound like me. Nico sat up and turned to face Will. And I get it. I really do. I'm always expecting the worst because, well, the worst always seems to come for me. I even assumed that for this quest I was so worried even before we entered the door of Orpheus. I know, said Will, and shame burned his face. And I don't think I made it any easier for you. Nico raised an eyebrow. What do you mean?
This whole quest got me thinking about you and me, and how often I thought your darkness was something to be conquered or healed.
Nico's head drooped.
Yeah, I did feel that sometimes. But now I know that it's not about conquering or vanquishing or any of that kind of hero talk. Sometimes it's better to learn to live with the darkness.
Will looked to the Cocoa Puffs, who were still watching him nervously.
I guess I'm going to have to literally do that, too.
Nico looked deep in thought for a moment, and then he leaned forward quickly and kissed Will. It was short, but when he pulled away, his face was alight with joy.
I appreciate you telling me that, said Nico.
But also, I like that you want to take care of me, Will. I haven't had someone like that in my life since Bianca and Maria, and I'd started to forget what it felt like until I met you. I love that you care so much for the people in your life. I don't want you to think I dislike that.
I don't, Will said. But maybe I need to do a better job of figuring out how to take care of you, rather than assuming you're just like everyone else.
He took Nico's hand, which were cool to the touch.
Because you're not like anyone I've ever met.
He pulled Nico close, and this time they kissed longer. Fuller. They only stopped because Bob's sobbing was now impossible to ignore.
Are you sure you're okay?
Asked Will, looking back at the Titan.
I am perfectly fine, Bob said, wiping at his face. I am crying tears of happiness for my son and my star.
Do you know what that means? Will whispered to Nico as he settled back against the rear seat. Nico cuddled up against him.
not a clue.
Moments later, the Ghost King was fast asleep in Will's arms once more. Bob sniffled softly behind them, and the current carried them all down the river. There were shadows in the distant fields this steep in Tartarus, but if they hid secrets, those secrets never revealed themselves. Will just drifted along with it all. Strange as it was, the reformed titan on one end of the boat and the shadowy, inky Cocoa Puffs at the other, and the whole being in Tartarus thing, and escaping Nix's control, and... okay, there was a lot. But this one part here, Nico using Will for warmth and as a pillow? Nothing felt strange about that. It was the most fitting part about this whole quest. They both had plenty to talk about when they returned to the mortal world, and Will felt a sudden jolt of nerves flash through him when he thought about bringing the Cocoa Puffs into Camp Half-Blood. He was certain Chiron would erupt into flames on the spot. Will would have to keep his field medic kit handy. For now, Will allowed himself to close his eyes. Bob and Small Bob were watching over them. They were safe, or at least as safe as two demigods could be in the lowest part of the underworld, where monsters and demons regenerated. Before sleep came for him, Will felt an odd softness on top of his right hand. He opened his eyes to see that one of the Cocoa Puffs, the one with a single eye like a cyclops, had cuddled up against him. It stared at him, and he worried it would dart off like the others. But it merely observed him sleepily until its eye closed, and then it began to snore. Will had heard love described in so many dramatic, bizarre ways over the years, but no one had described it like this. It's like drifting down a river of pain and knowing you are safe. It's like holding a person in your arms and realizing they are an interlocking piece of a puzzle you hadn't known how to assemble. It's like staring into a dark and treacherous expanse, unsure of what awaits you, but finding comfort in the fact that you won't have to face it alone. It was a son of Apollo falling for a son of Hades. It was this. Chapter 48. Nico dreamed. He was in darkness, and he heard his name being called. Nico. Nico D'Angelo. He knew who it was, and his heart sank. Had Nix decided to hurt him through his dreams because they had managed to escape? He pulled his dream blanket tighter over his head. "I'm sleeping this off," he announced. "Give it up, Nix."
"I don't know why you think I'm Nix," said another familiar voice.
He slowly pried the blanket back. He was in the Lotus Hotel once more. But no, this was different. It wasn't like the dream that had tormented him all summer. Somehow, this one felt more real. The details weren't fuzzy around the edges. The blanket he was wrapped in, he ran his fingers over it. He could feel every thread, every fiber that it was made of.
Nico?
He looked to his left. Bianca sat next to him in bed, dressed as one of the hunters of Artemis. She glowed vaguely as if she were a ghost.
Bianca,
said Nico, kicking off the blanket.
What is this?
Calm down, Nico, she said, smiling from ear to ear. I know you've been through a terribly difficult experience, and that's going to make this harder for you to believe. She reached over. She touched him. Her hand was cold, but it was there, her fingertips lightly running over the back of his hand, and it sent goosebumps up and down his skin.
This is a dream, said Bianca, but it is also very real.
I don't understand, said Nico, and his whole body went still.
You will soon,
she said.
An exception was made.
An exception? He tried to get out of the bed, but the blanket became tangled with his feet. He tumbled onto the floor, landing so that he faced the leather chair tucked into the corner. Someone was in it. Nico backed up until his shoulders hit the mattress, his heart in his throat. A beautiful woman was sitting in the armchair. She wore a long black skirt that came down to her shins,
and there was a veiled black hat on her head. Even through the veil, he knew those eyes. He had not seen them in years, decades. "Mama," he uttered, and his voice broke. His heart broke. Maria D'Angelo smiled down at him. "Ciao, caro figliola," she said. "It's been a long time." "This isn't funny, Nix," he said, his voice trembling. "It's never going to work. If anything, you're only going to make me more dedicated to resisting you." Bianca knelt at his side. "This isn't what you think it is." She extended her hand to show him a mythomagic figurine on her palm. Zeus. "His lightning bolts do 600 damage," Bianca said. "He was one of your favorites." "You loved that game," said Maria, her dark eyes sparkling beneath the veil. "Half the time it was impossible to pull your attention away from it, especially when we moved to the United States." Nico rose slowly, then looked from Maria to Bianca and back. "You can't be here," he said. "It's not allowed. You both moved on." Maria nodded. "We did, Nico. I am sorry I was never able to come back to see you before this. It is a regret I had, but where I went, I had to let go." "Where you went?" Nico raised an eyebrow at Bianca. "How is she here, then? How are you here? Aren't you in Elysium?" "I am," said Bianca. "But the two of us, we were granted one last visit with you."
"What?"
said Nico.
"Granted by whom?"
Maria ignored that question. She stood, and the sight of her was like a crashing wave that swept Nico away. He choked out a sob, then covered his mouth. Tears spilled from Maria's eyes.
"We are not truly here," she said. "Think of us like an essence, like the smallest drop of who we once were."
"We are still ourselves," Bianca added, and she crossed over the room to stand next to her mother. Nico's mother.
"But this cannot last long. It is just for you."
"Just for me?" Nico wiped away his tears.
"Why?"
Maria and Bianca did not answer. Instead, they both cast a glance over Nico's shoulder and smiled. The temperature dropped, and Nico sensed another presence in the room. He didn't want to turn around. It was Nix, wasn't it?
Or Epiels, or some other nightmare demon or god.
They'd found a way into his mind to torment him more, or...
"Turn around, Nico," said Bianca. "This is not what you think it is."
He gulped loudly. "But what if it was?"
"You have to let go of that fear," his mother said. "Fear is not always a bad thing, but sometimes it can hold you back."
She stepped forward and placed a ghostly hand on his cheek.
"Turn around," she said.
He swallowed his terror and turned. Hades stood behind him, dressed in a black pinstriped suit. He was holding a wide-brim hat in both hands, rotating it nervously. Despite the fact that he was many feet taller than everyone else in the room, he seemed like an embarrassed child. But wasn't Nico the one in trouble for defying his father's wishes? For entering Tartarus even though it was forbidden?
"Father," said Nico, "what is this?"
At first, Hades did not speak. His glittering dark eyes jumped from Nico to the floor, then to Maria.
"Go ahead, Hades," prompted Maria.
"This is my doing," Hades finally said. "This dream."
"Wait," said Nico. "If this is really you..."
"It is, my son," said Hades, cutting him off. "If you don't believe, I can prove it to you." This time, Nico didn't let him finish. He lurched forward and wrapped his arms around his father, who was solid, who was really there. Nico had never been one to show affection toward Hades in the past, but he was raw from what he'd just been through.
He was also afraid.
If the god was here in his dream, then he had to know where Nico was in real life.
Father, he muttered into Hades' suit, I'm sorry, I know you said not to return to Tartarus, but I had to.
I know, Nico, he said. And Nico felt his father's hands on his back, running up and down his bomber jacket.
I promise I wouldn't have done it if...
I said I know. Those words sounded more like the Hades that Nico knew, gruff and cold. He pulled away.
Are you mad at me?
Hades sighed. I could hardly be angry with you after I sent you that prophecy.
What?
Hades gestured to the bed. Sit, my son. We must talk.
You sent it to me?
His father raised an eyebrow. You have no idea how loud Bob was getting toward the end. Nico sat on the edge of the bed nearest his mother, and she immediately reached out to him. When he took Maria's hand, he trembled. Somehow she was both there and not there.
I don't understand, said Nico. The prophecy, Bob, this? What's going on?
Though the underworld is my realm, I am often restricted in my movements, said Hades. He sat to Nico's left and put his hat aside, then gazed at him with his dark eyes. I believed there was no demigod better suited to rescuing Bob from Nyx's clutches than you. Nico barked to laugh. He couldn't help himself. I fail to see what is so amusing, said Hades. Nico grinned.
I just remember a time when you were annoyed that I wasn't as good as Bianca at being a demigod.
Hades frowned. I never said that.
Totally did, said Nico.
That doesn't sound like me. Bianca hit a laugh and a cough, and Maria scowled at Hades. Okay, perhaps that is true. The god allowed. But you have grown so much over the years, and have proven yourself time and time again.
But, father, it's Tartarus, said Nico. You know I got captured there once. You know what I went through. Why would you want to send me back?
Hades looked to Maria again, and this time she glared at him as if to say, I'd like to know the answer, too. Hades squared his broad shoulders and turned back to Nico. Sometimes we gods can be a bit calculating. We see things in a way that makes logical sense to us, yet our actions can have disastrous consequences for mortals. He nodded at Maria. And sometimes, mortals end up paying the price for our actions.
Okay, said Nico. I get it, you're not human or mortal. Our world confuses you.
Sometimes, Hades said sternly. But other times, well, my child, that demigod friend of yours, Percy Jackson, he changed things for a lot of us. Made us rethink our priorities, our behaviors, our standards. I did have second thoughts in this case, but only after I sent you that prophecy. When you came to the underworld with Will Solace, I was worried that I had asked too much of you. He sighed and lowered his head. You have lost so very much, my child. Your mother, your sister, Jason Grace. And I worried that you would lose Will as well.
But I didn't, said Nico.
No, you did not. And for the first time Nico had seen in many, many years, a smile broke out on Hades' face. You survived. You were resilient. You made me proud to be your father.
Vitamia,
Maria whispered, and Nico saw that she was crying. And so, I wanted you to have this respite, a reward to show you how proud I am. He gestured toward Maria and Bianca with his right hand. What good is it being a god if I can't break the rules for my son once in a while?
We cannot be here long, said Bianca. But we needed you to know. We are proud of you too, Nico.
A tear spilled down Nico's cheek.
I miss you, Bianca, Mom. I miss you both so much. We know,
said Maria.
her wet eyes sparkling. It has been hard, and you've been through so much heartbreak. And yet, you have not given up. You are very strong, caro figliuolo.
I once told you something, Nico. Hades picked up his hat and placed it atop his oil-slicked hair. I hoped you would finally be the exception to a legacy of children who struggled to find happiness.
The god of the underworld reached over and grabbed Nico's left hand.
Go, he said. Go be with Will Solis. And now that Nyx has plucked your demons from you, choose happiness. Not for me, not for your sister or mother, but for yourself. You deserve it, Nico.
Hades went quiet, and his next words sounded like they'd gotten stuck in his throat.
You deserve everything, my son.
Nico hesitated for a moment.
Everything, he said. Hades frowned. Yes.
He gave his father a mischievous smirk. So, if I ask for something, you'll give it to me.
Perhaps I did not mean everything quite so literally, but go ahead. Ask.
There's a soul in Tartarus, Nico said. Amphithemes. Zeus sent him to protect Dionysus, and Hera cursed him with the form of a Lamian centaur, and now his soul is a mania, trapped in that place. Could you find a way to set him free? It's not fair that he has to suffer forever.
Hades smiled. You finally have me in a place where I can grant you whatever you desire, and your wish is to help someone else. You continue to make me proud.
He adjusted his hat.
I will make it so.
Then his father stood, and Nico's heart leapt as the walls of the Lotus Hotel began to dissipate, wisping away like smoke in the wind as Hades walked into the quickly approaching darkness. Nico turned back to his sister and mother, expecting to feel anguish and rage, expecting to beg them to stay just one more minute. But Maria and Bianca D'Angelo glowed, and they looked so happy, completely at peace. I'm glad I got to see you again, he said. And it's time for me to let you go.
Thank you,
said Maria, and she caressed his cheek one last time as Bianca beamed at him. Then they both blew away, mist into darkness. And Nico fell deep, deep into a dreamless rest. When he awoke sometime later, the sky was a red-orange. He felt warmth on his face, and he blinked, adjusting to the light and shadows. Bob looked down at him.
Go back to sleep, my friend, he said. You should not be awake here.
Nico sat up. Will was curled up on the bottom of the boat, surrounded by Cocoa Puffs, who also snoozed soundlessly. And in the distance, Nico could see Erebos. The great black walls of his father's palace were the best thing Nico had seen in a long time. A wide smile spread over his face.
We do not need your father knowing where you have been.
He already does, said Nico.
Bob raised an eyebrow. And he's not going to stop us?
Bob, he was the one who sent me the prophecy to find you.
The Titan was silent, and then he smiled too.
Always did like working for your father, he said.
The Acheron was bringing them closer and closer to the palace, and Nico lay back down, snuggling closer to Will.
Wake me when we need to head to the door of Orpheus.
Bob shook his head.
Not going that way.
Nico stitched his eyebrows together.
But how else are we getting out of the underworld?
I am still a Titan, Nico, he said. I still possess some of the knowledge, even if the Lethe wiped my memories. Rest, friend. As I told Will, it is my turn to take care of you.
Nico didn't argue. He put his head on Will's chest, and moments later, he fell asleep to the rhythmic up and down of his boyfriend's breathing. Chapter 49. The next time Nico opened his eyes, everything was blue. A soft breeze wafted over his face, and the stars came into view. Tiny pinpricks of light poking through a navy blanket of sky.
He wasn't sure which part of the underworld this was, but he lay there for a few moments, just existing. Until a seagull spoiled it all. When it cawed loudly, Nico bolted upright. He'd somehow made it to the stern of the boat, and his Cocoa Puffs chirped at him as he looked around. Will and Bob were both awake, sitting together on a bench in the canoe, facing front. That's when Nico figured out where they were. Because on the horizon, the sun was beginning to rise over the Long Island Sound. They were out of the underworld. They had made it. Well, they could thank Bob for that. Nico stretched his arms above his head, and Will turned at the sound of him yawning. "Morning, Sleepyhead," he said. "Welcome back to the land of the living." "Ha ha," said Nico. "Funny joke." Will scooted over to join Nico on the rear bench. "You missed Bob's waterworks display." "Another one?" Nico said, leaning his head on Will's shoulder. "I feel like I need to cry some more to catch up to him."
"You are welcome to join me," said Bob, running his enormous hand over small Bob, who was curled up in his lap. "This view was worthy of a good cry. I did not think I would see the sun or stars again."
The Titan lifted his head and took a big whiff of the brisk sea air.
"To be alive in the world once more, it is beautiful."
He quietly wept while small Bob purred. Nico examined Will's face. His boyfriend looked significantly better. His skin was no longer waxy, and the bags under his eyes were starting to fade. "I'm guessing I don't look like I'm close to death anymore," said Will. "That's right," said Nico. "But I still find you attractive anyway." "I'm pretty sure I spent the last few days looking like a pile of melted Play-Doh." "Nonsense. You're more like soggy ambrosia. You're a little pile of soggy ambrosia," said Will, blowing Nico a kiss. Nico watched as the north side of Long Island grew in the distance until he could make out details on the shoreline. Trees, docks, the garish, impossibly huge houses of rich families, their estates sprawling along the coast in both directions. And there, far, far to the west, he could see the outlines of skyscrapers and towering apartment buildings. He couldn't make out the Manhattan skyline, but that didn't matter. Those were buildings, buildings constructed by humans. He truly was back in the world of the living. Bob guided the boat through Long Island Sound to the beach, to Euros Creek, southward into camp. Each sight they came upon, from squirrels rushing up the trunk of an oak to reeds wavering on the banks, thrilled Nico. He wouldn't say he was becoming a nature person or anything like that, but he was overjoyed to be back in a world that wasn't actively trying to kill him or Will. Nico finally let loose his own waterworks when he saw Pilius trotting alongside them in the forest. They were home. They were home. The dragon that watched over the golden fleece at Camp Half-Blood kept pace for a while, then darted off into the trees. Next, two dryads cried out in shock at the sight of the boat and its strange inhabitants. They ran off too, probably to tell the others. The others? Oh, Hades, who else was at camp right now? How much time had passed since they'd gone through the door of Orpheus? The air was chilly but not freezing, so it had to still be fall. Will tapped Nico's arm. "Look," he said, pointing ahead. The creek was coming to an end at Canoe Lake. And there, standing on the edge, was Chiron. Nico had never been so happy to see his centaur friend. He didn't even wait for Bob to guide the boat to shore. He hopped over the gunwale, water soaking his boots, and splashed his way over to Chiron. He wrapped his arms around the activity director's waist. "Nico," said Chiron, you're hugging me. Are we hugging now? Is that a thing we do?" "Shut up, Chiron," he said. "Just hug me back." The centaur did. It felt wonderful. Chiron stepped away, and his eyes went wide. "Oh my." Bob the Titan stepped out of the wooden boat, and it was then that Nico remembered just how ridiculously tall Titans were. He loomed over all of them, and one of the nearest trees came up to his chest. He held out his hand to help Will, the son of Apollo, jump to the ground and wobbled for a second. "A real-life Titan," said Chiron. "At Camp Half-Blood."
Nico wished he could have bottled the gasp Chiron let out when the Cocoa Puffs hesitantly emerged from Gorgira's boat, the one with antlers peeked over the edge, then hopped over and scurried to Nico's side. Chiron reared, then slammed his front hooves down on the ground. "Nico, what are those?" "It's a long story," he said. "But, Chiron, I'd like you to meet my Cocoa Puffs." Chiron's mouth dropped open. "You're... what?" More and more of Nico's caco demons poured out of the boat until they formed an inky blot of a group at his feet. A couple of them yipped and jumped up toward his hands. "Sorry, Cocoa Puffs," he said. "I don't have any food." He raised an eyebrow and turned to Will. "Wait, what do they eat?" "You're asking the wrong person," said Will, shrugging. "I didn't even know anything like them could exist until a few days ago." Nico turned back to Chiron. "How long have we been gone?"
"A week," the activities director said. "A very long week, I imagine."
"Very, very long," said Nico. "And it would have been a lot longer if we hadn't had the boat."
Said Chiron uncertainly.
"Do you by chance mean the one that's now drifting away?"
Nico spun and saw that Gorgira's white canoe was indeed floating out on the creek, heading toward Long Island Sound.
Will groaned. "That's the second time we've lost that boat," he said. "I hope Gorgira isn't mad at us."
"You need not worry," said Bob. "These things find their way back home."
He knelt so he was closer to Nico's height.
"And I must go find mine. It is time for me to leave."
"Stay a while," said Nico. "Let me show you around the camp."
"Yes, you are very much welcome to," said Chiron.
"I, for one, would love to chat with you about all sorts of things."
Bob shook his head, and small Bob leaped into his arms.
"I must head west. It is where I belong."
Then he smiled.
"No, that's not quite right. It is where I want to go."
He hugged Nico tightly, then held his arms out for Will.
"Thank you, Will Solace, for helping me obtain my freedom."
"It was my pleasure," said Will.
"Well, actually, I was miserable most of the time, but Bob, I'd do it again if it meant saving you."
Small Bob meowed loudly at Will. "And you too, Small Bob," he added.
"Where exactly will you go, Bob?" Chiron asked.
"I have no idea."
The reformed Titan rose and looked to the west, and when he did so, beams of sunlight hit the back of his head. Nico thought they looked like points on a crown.
"But that is the best possible reality for me. I now have choices when I used to have none."
He raised his hand to Will, Nico, and Chiron. And then he strode off through the forest, Small Bob glowing at his heels. After a short silence, Chiron cleared his throat.
"You boys managed something impossible," he said.
"Mr. D and I are eager to hear how you accomplished such a feat, but first, let's get you both a nice hot meal."
"Yes, please," said Will. "I'm tired of nectar and ambrosia."
"There will be more of that in the future to facilitate your healing," said Chiron, scanning their faces. "I see you're both a bit dinged up."
He reached down and lifted Nico's chin.
"Do you need to visit the infirmary first, son? I'm sure we can fix that slash on your cheek."
"Nah," said Nico. "There's nothing to fix. I like it how it is."
"In the meantime, though, how do bacon, eggs, and toast sound?"
"Sunny side up?" asked Nico.
"I like my toast dark," said Will.
The demigods grinned at each other. Chiron looked down at them with a serious expression.
"I just want to say how deeply, deeply proud I am of both of you. Dionysus will probably not admit as much, but he feels the same way."
"Thanks," said Nico.
He reached down and laced his fingers between Will's. Will sent a warm glow into Nico, and Nico accepted it.
Chapter 50. A small gathering of dryads and nymphs greeted Nico and Will as they entered the dining pavilion, and Mr. D had to shoo them away to even get close. My two favorite demigods have returned, he said, and he held his arms open and embraced both of them at the same time.
Favorite? Will said into Mr. D's armpit. I thought you didn't even like demigods.
Oh, I don't, he said. All of you could fall to the bottom of the sea and I wouldn't care, but I'd prefer if you two were the last to drown.
I can't believe I missed you, said Nico, grinning. It's great to be back.
I must hear everything, said Mr. D, gesturing to a table piled with fresh, steaming food. Eat up and commence with the storytelling, because what I've already heard sounds phenomenal.
Already heard? Said Will. But we just got here.
News travels fast in our world, said Chiron, sitting at the head of the table. A couple of dryads darted up and began to pour chalices of nectar for everyone. And bits and pieces of your exploits have floated to the surface, so to speak. Mr. D glanced down at Nico's feet, and the Cocoa Puffs ducked behind them.
I am especially eager to hear about
whatever they are. Nico thought Mr. D looked like he was about to explode from excitement, and it was honestly a complete delight. Will led Nico to the table, and they sat next to each other. There were fluffy eggs, glistening bowls of fruit, a towering stack of fresh pancakes, and a platter piled high with crispy vegan bacon. Nico was certain he was going to eat every morsel.
Well, where should we start? He said after scarfing three flapjacks in rapid succession.
Chiron's mouth was open a little bit. Mr. D's eyes were wide, like he was a demigod in the armory.
The beginning, Nico, said Mr. D, sitting opposite Chiron, obviously.
And so Nico and Will took turns sharing what had happened over the course of the previous week. Nico would speak when Will needed to eat, and Will would take over when Nico's eyes went all glassy as a new plate of food was placed on the table. Nico expected to feel exhausted after everything that had happened, but he realized how badly his heart, soul, and mind had missed being here in Camp Half-Blood among people who cared for him. He would always have a soft spot for the underworld. It was his second home, but his first home, and this was what Nyx couldn't understand about him, was the mortal world. He had spent so many years resisting companionship, friendship, and love. He'd refused to stay in one place and hadn't allowed anyone to get close to him, no matter how hard people tried to show Nico that they cared. He had chosen loneliness and isolation instead. And as he listened to Will recount Chaos's Pit and the showdown with Nyx, Nico told himself that his past self had been trying to stay safe. After so many years of disappointment and pain, he had come to expect the worst. But now he'd... There was a soft chittering at his feet. The Cocoa Puffs had gathered under the table, and they looked at him expectantly. The one-eyed Caco Demon licked his lips with a glowing tongue. So Nico grabbed a fresh plate of pancakes and quickly placed it on the ground. He did his best to ignore the frenzy that erupted as the Cocoa Puffs feasted, but Chiron finally looked under the table and scowled.
Those things are what Nyx created out of you? He asked.
Nico nodded.
She's created Caco Demons all her life, he said. It's not that surprising that she would do it again.
So you're basically a father to a bunch of Caco Demons, said Mr. D. This might be my favorite part of this story. It's so chaotic.
Excuse you, said Will. They're the Cocoa Puffs. Get it right.
I don't understand the reference, and I refuse to learn what it means, said Mr. D. But Cocoa Puffs it is. Chiron rubbed his goatee.
What an ingenious way of fulfilling the prophecy, he said. I must admit, I was worried.
He gestured to Mr. D.
We were both worried.
Speak for yourself, said Mr. D, popping a grape into his mouth. I always knew that Nico would emerge victorious. Chiron scowled at the director. Anyway, I think you did something scary and risky, Nico. But I'm glad you were willing to give up that part of yourself.
Well, not completely, said Will. If I learned anything from this quest, it's that eradicating the past isn't really possible, or healthy for that matter. It's better if you learn how to live with it.
He reached down and petted the Cocoa Puffs with tusks.
And I think Nico is going to do a wonderful job of that.
Heat rushed to Nico's face.
Thank you, he said quietly. Will put his hand on Nico's left leg and squeezed. Nico sat back, his hands on his bloated belly, and he realized it had been a long time since he'd last been this full. He'd always been known as the demigod who wouldn't eat. Why had he let himself get to the point of starvation over and over again? Because it was what he was used to. But Nico's life was changing, had changed. What he was used to now was different than what his life had been like even a year ago. Back then, the idea that he could be in a relationship seemed impossible. Things changed. That wasn't a bad thing. But something needled at Nico as he sat there, watching Will's animated storytelling as he described Tartarus to the two directors. Something was missing. Incomplete. There was a thread left that still needed to be pulled. He looked down at the Cocoa Puffs. They too had gorged themselves and were now napping under the table. Mr. D rested his chin on his hands and stared at Will dreamily, soaking up every detail of the underworld. The underworld. There it was, the other piece. Nico stood and excused himself. "I'll be right back," he said to Will. "There's something I need to do." "Of course," Will said. "Meet me in my cabin when you're done." Nico nodded, and then he wandered away from the dining pavilion. He headed for the Hades cabin. It was eerie being in the clearing with all the gods' cabins. There were so many more of them than there had been when Nico had first arrived at Camp Half-Blood. Yet another sign of how much had changed. The door to Hades' cabin creaked as he opened it, and it smelled a bit stale inside. It still amused him that it had been decorated as if every child of Hades was a teenage goth, but there was a comfort in the dark decor. He made his way to his part of the cabin and lifted his mattress to pull out a drachma. Then he sat on his bed and took a small crystal and a drachma from a pocket on the inside of his bomber jacket. He opened the window shutter and held the crystal up to the sunlight, and the rainbow that formed, he tossed the coin while reciting the offering. And then he said, "Tahlequah, Oklahoma, Piper McLean." Moments later, there was an image of Piper, smiling, the morning sun illuminating the two brown braids that sat on either shoulder. Next to her was a brown-skinned girl with dark hair and a pixie cut. The stud in her nostril sparkled.
"Nico," said Piper. "Wow, this is a surprise. You haven't met Shell before, have you?"
Nico shook his head and promptly burst into tears. After some consoling, which Nico thought was probably really hard to do over Iris' message, Piper asked Shell to give them some space.
"No, it's okay," said Nico, wiping at his face. "She can stay."
Piper raised an eyebrow.
"Are you sure?"
He smiled. "If she's important to you, she's important to me."
"It's okay," said Shell. "I don't have to be here."
"Stay," said Nico. "Maybe you can help."
"What's going on?" asked Piper. "Is there an emergency? Did something happen?"
"No emergency anymore," he said. "I just got back from a quest."
"A quest?"
Piper's eyes widened. "Oh no." He started with a prophecy during the summer after they'd defeated Nero. He had to stop every so often so that Piper could explain something to Shell, who listened attentively, nodding. He told them about the quest, the journey into the underworld, Epiels, the troglodytes, Menites, the garden, and the Acheron. Both girls were transfixed once he got to the plunge into Tartarus and the nightmares that awaited him and Will. When he'd finished, he was exhausted. This was the second time that morning he'd had to summarize what had happened to him and Will, and his boyfriend wasn't even around to do half the work. But Nico needed to do this by himself, especially once Piper asked him why he had reached out to her.
"Not that I don't like hearing from you," she said. "It's just that, well, we haven't spoken in a long time, not since..."
Silence fell on Piper's side of the message, and Shell pulled her close in a hug.
"That's kind of the point," Nico said.
"Because I should have reached out to you after." He sighed. "After Jason died." Piper turned away for a moment, and when she looked back to Nico, her eyes were red and glassy. Shell kissed her on the temple.
"I'll be right back," she said, standing up. You don't have to leave, said Piper. I know, but this is something you two should discuss alone. Come find me once you're done.
Shell disappeared, and Nico smiled at Piper.
I like her. She seems nice.
I like her, too,
she said with a wry smile. She's never been weird about my grief over Jason, either.
I'm glad you have someone to share that stuff with. I've learned the hard way that I shouldn't bottle up my feelings.
Nico, after all you've been through, and not just on this quest, I think it's understandable to everyone why you've tried to protect yourself. I don't think it's irrational or anything.
But you were right there, he said. You were grieving the loss of someone you loved so much, and I didn't even think to drop you a message. That wasn't right.
She nodded. I mean, yeah, maybe it was a little weird. To be honest, I expected you to reach out to me at some point. But then it never happened. And life changed so much for me. I guess I kind of forgot.
Well, I'm sorry to open old wounds. But this experience got me thinking. I really want us to be better friends. But I knew that couldn't happen unless we talked about Jason.
I appreciate that, said Piper.
Then,
I really miss him, Nico.
Me too, he said, a lump forming in his throat. There are days when I forget he's dead. My mind thinks he's on a quest or something, and he'll just come waltzing into Camp Half-Blood with you, Leo, Frank, or Hazel. And I know that's partially because I'm still getting over it. I'm adjusting to him not being here. But I'm also realizing that maybe I'll never get over it completely. A part of me is always going to hurt because he's gone.
That part does get smaller.
She flicked her braids over her shoulders.
The more you live life, the more your life sort of grows around the hole in your heart. And sometimes a person comes along and helps you build a whole new room in your heart. And you get to fill that with love and memories.
You mean Shell? She tilted her head and smiled. Well, I was referring to Will Solace, your smoking hot boyfriend, but
yeah, Shell too.
How are things going with her?
Really good, said Piper. It's a lot of firsts. First relationship with a girl. First time I'm with someone who's native like me. It's really freeing, Nico. We have this shared language and experience, even though we haven't lived identical lives.
That's amazing, he said. I'm really happy for you.
It's weird sometimes, too. Dad is still wrapping his mind around the whole thing.
Oh, no, said Nico. Is he being judgy?
No, not really, she said. I think he's just had a hard time seeing me as one person, then having to accept that I'm something else. To be honest, even I struggle with that.
Struggle with what?
Well, said Piper, shifting in her chair. I really loved Jason. I was genuinely attracted to him. So suddenly realizing I was attracted to a girl was a bit of a shock to me, too.
Dad doesn't have a problem with that at all.
He told me that if he had even an inkling of homophobia in him, he couldn't have worked in a place like Hollywood. Almost no one there is straight.
Nico laughed. So, is it a label thing?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I thought I was straight, and I'm clearly not, but
does that make me bi? Pan?
If I never find another man attractive again, does that mean I'm a lesbian?
Nico didn't answer at first. I think, after what I just went through, he said eventually, the best thing I can say to you is that we are not only one thing forever. We're allowed to change at any point in our lives. We don't have to be stuck with a label someone else assigns us.
Gods, we don't even have to stick to a label we give ourselves. So you can be bi or pan or lesbian or queer. And tomorrow, you may have a better sense of who you are. Or tomorrow, you can be a big old queer mess and figure it out 50 years from now.
I should tell my dad that the next time he asks, she said, laughing. She put on her best imitation of Tristan McLean. Piper, dear, how should I describe your relationship?
Well, father, I am a big old queer mess.
Nico guffawed, maybe for the first time in his life.
Perfect.
After they spoke for a few more minutes, Shell popped her head back into the room and said something inaudible.
I gotta go, Nico, said Piper. We're going on a long hike today, and we need to be on the trail soon or it'll be a billion degrees while we're out there.
Hope you have fun, he said. The very idea of hiking even 1 yard makes me want to perish, but you do you.
She giggled and waved. Don't be a stranger, Nico D'Angelo. It was nice meeting you, Shal said. He waved goodbye to them, and the iris message evaporated. Nico lay back on the bed, relief coursing through him. He'd been afraid of what Piper's reaction would be to him calling out of the blue. But he now knew that he'd had no reason to be so anxious. Of course she was going to understand complicated reactions to grief. But that was what Nico had to work on, always anticipating the worst. Maybe he should bring that up with Mr. D. Nico would be interested in talking further with the director about Tartarus, but even more so if they could come up with other things Nico could do to help his mind. Being so open to change now, well, it scared Nico. But it also thrilled him. He hadn't intended to, but he quickly slipped into a dreamless, exhausted sleep. Chapter 51. Nico awoke suddenly and in a panic. Oh no, he thought. Will, I told him I would meet him. He wasn't sure what time it was when he bolted from his cabin, but it was still very bright outside, and there wasn't quite as much of a crispness to the air. He rubbed his eyes as he crossed the clearing to the Apollo cabin, rushing past the hearth in the center. When he shoved the front door open, he realized he should have knocked first, especially since he was met with the shocked faces of Kayla and Austin over iris message. Nico! Austin called out. Oh, we're so glad to see you. Where are the Cocoa Puffs? Asked Kayla, eyes wide. I really want to see them.
Nico glanced over at Will, who shrugged.
Last I saw, they were still fast asleep in the dining pavilion. Later then, Nico told the two demigods. You guys mind if I talk with Will?
Ooh, said Kayla in a sultry voice. How romantic.
Shut up, Kayla, said Will, grinning. I'll talk to you both soon, okay?
Nico waved to them as the iris message dissipated, then joined Will on his bed.
I'm sorry, he said. I meant to come immediately after talking to Piper, but I passed out as soon as I was done. Don't worry about it, Will said. I knew you'd come back.
He grabbed Nico's hand. So, Piper, everything okay?
Yes, said Nico, smiling widely. Very much okay.
And we're okay too, aren't we?
Yep,
he said, leaning into Will's shoulder. I feel like you and I have talked more today than we have in the last year. So we don't need to have another long talk right now.
Agreed, said Will.
They rested there for a few minutes, and then Will cleared his throat.
But one more thing, he said.
Nico laughed and shoved Will away from him. You love talking.
I can't help that I'm an extrovert.
Nico plopped back onto the bed. Okay, so what's the last thing then?
Will lay back so that he was parallel to Nico. I just want to make sure you know that I'm not trying to change you or anything. I think the whole Nyx thing dredged up a lot of stuff in our relationship.
Yeah, I know, he said, in both directions.
Well, we're talking about me right now, so stay on topic, Nico. I'm sending you back to Tartarus tomorrow.
And now I know how to get back, so nice try. He paused.
Well, I don't actually know how Bob managed that last part. But that's beside the point. What I was trying to say was that I don't want a version of you that I've made up in my head, and I don't want to treat you like you are a literal ball of darkness or anything either. And I think sometimes I have.
But I also fed into that, said Nico. My problem is that I never let anyone believe that I was anything but a ball of darkness, even though deep down I wanted to have friends and be cared for, but I couldn't let go of all the hurt and pain I was in.
Maybe having the Cocoa Puffs is going to help. I don't know. The idea that your personal demons now live outside your body is kind of cool.
Oh, it's very cool, said Nico, and he propped himself up on one hand so he could face Will. I'm already planning on not telling anyone else about them so I can use them to scare the living daylights out of people on a regular basis.
Wow, Nico, said Will.
Why are you like this?
Childhood trauma,
Nico said, nodding. Even Will couldn't resist how funny that joke was.
It pleased Nico to see him able to laugh at something that dark, and he took it as a sign. Will really was trying. Well, so would he. Nix had unintentionally taught Nico that he could no longer live shackled to his past. He didn't have to let his pain define him. There was another option, one he'd not been able to see before Will Solace, the son of Apollo, came into his life and shone his brightness on him. Nico was not afraid of the light anymore. He and his boyfriend lay on the bed in silence, his leg looped over Will's and his fingers tracing the lines on Will's palm. No one had ever loved him like Will did, and that was no longer terrifying. How could it be? How could acceptance and respect and desire be anything but the best things for Nico? His life had been ruled and nearly ruined by gods and demons, by wars and prophecies, by doubt and fear. But as he watched Will drifting off to sleep, none of those things mattered anymore. There was a creak at the door, but Nico did not look. He heard the patter of tiny footsteps on the wooden floor, then felt each of the Cocoa Puffs hop up onto the bed. They found a place to cuddle up with Nico, Will, or one another. It was strange. A year ago, this was not something that Nico could ever have imagined. He had no idea what the future held, or what crisis would rear its head next and threaten the safety and well-being of the world. They were demigods. All that came with the territory. But this was the first time in Nico's entire life that a certain sensation filled his whole body, stitched itself to his bones, buried itself in his heart. Nico smiled. The future held hope, and he clung to it. This has been The Sun and the Star, written by Rick Riordan and Mark Oshiro, narrated by AJ Beckles. Text copyright 2023, Rick Riordan. Production copyright 2023, Buena Vista Books, Inc. Thank you for listening.